SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number three, live right here on this Thursday morning on the early line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. A couple of NFL questions, of course, for those two big-name quarterbacks still out in the market. And how desirable are they on the open market? We'll hear from the people in just a matter of moments. We'll talk some NBA action in the prop perspective with Tom Vecchio in our next segment coming up. And then DRS, final half hour, man. As good as you will find. I know you will continue it on the money line. I will continue it in the final segment solo as well. We are going to try to give you a handicap, a thought, a pick, a preview, a breakdown for a good majority of our college basketball slate on this Thursday. Certainly the games at the high major level, but a few mid-major thoughts as well. It is the most beautiful time of this year now in the month of March. This Thursday, we have a ton of conference tournament action. Next Thursday will be about two hours away from the start of the round of 64 in the men's NCAA tournament. I mean it when I say it does not get better than this.
No, and I'm getting word now that no more pro football full circle for the next 3 weeks. I believe it's college basketball during that entire hour.
That's more of a lazy thing to me.
Exactly. Like maybe you throw it in like, hey, Joe, what do you think about the Philadelphia Eagles next year? But let's get down to the Syracuse game that's going to take place or maybe not take place tonight since they didn't win yesterday. That's what we that's what we need at this point. And by the way, we're going to get to some of these topics here and fading the public. Who's making up these polls? Because the people are responding in kind at this point. I completely agree. You want me to take over this poll for next week and just really set it up and get some viral edge on this? I can do that here because I know this poll that Ben is going to introduce is getting people angry out here, and it should.
You know that our guy, Joe Friezo, our producer extraordinaire, is the mastermind behind everything that you see come out of our mouths and everything that we have here on this show. The topic, the idea, the conversation, that is Joe Friezo. That includes our Fade the Public poll. So to DRS's point, how enticing is the poll? How enticing are the two quarterback options of Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson still out on the open market? That's for you to tell us. It's Fade the Public. At Sports Grid on Twitter, which free agent quarterback is a more enticing option, Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson? A poll that Donnie is very excited to break down. Nearly 56% of the vote backing Aaron Rodgers. A little bit more than 44% backing Russell Wilson. DRS, are you fading the public? Which way did you vote?
No, I went with the public because it's like, again, we'll get to some of the responses in a second, but it's like, which quarterback is more enticing? Like, ooh, I like can't wait for this. Well, at least from Aaron Rodgers, you get sort of a car crash effect, right? Like, hey, look, there's a wreck on the other side. Let me slow down and take a look at it. That's like Aaron Rodgers. Like, it would be interesting to see what he does in Pittsburgh because it could go one direction where they could win double-digit games, make a playoff run, and it's fun to talk about him. Or that could be a 5-win football team because he basically gets in there and submarines the entire franchise. But the one thing I think most of us should be able to agree on is how could Russell Wilson ever be an enticing option for anybody in the NFL? Like, what franchise goes like, got him, Russ is in town, now we can look forward to an unbelievable season? Like, at least with Aaron Rodgers, you do have somewhat of that little sparkle, that little flicker that could turn into a flame and have a decent season with a lot of intrigue. Russ gives us no intrigue whatsoever. So the only thing I'm actually shocked at is I can see why only 44% of the poll came in for Russell Wilson, because I just think it's a lot of just hate and they just see Aaron Rodgers' name and no matter who would be on that other line, they would just click it. I get that. But there's nobody enticing of a quarterback option that says, you know what, Russ is that guy. I'm looking forward to playing football next year. Nobody's saying that.
No, there's not. Listen, I voted for Aaron Rodgers as well, because I think even at this stage of their career, Aaron Rodgers would move the needle just a tad bit more than that of Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson also was not going to have the opportunity, more than likely, unless the Steelers bring him back, but that probably would have already happened, to be on a competitive or playoff team. If he ends up in Cleveland, and the Browns are telling you all we need to know about the direction of this franchise, hey, we still have all that money for Deshaun Watson. We just paid Miles Garrett a ton. We're not really close to being a playoff contender. If he ends up for the New York Giants, a team that currently has the longest price to win a Super Bowl, that's where they will remain. I would still say the most likely option for Aaron Rodgers at this moment remains the Steel City. And what does Pittsburgh do? Even with bad quarterback play, they don't have losing seasons, and they make playoff bids that maybe they should not. Now, does Aaron Rodgers elevate Pittsburgh to be a 10-7 playoff wildcard team and now a true conference contender? Absolutely not. But could he still get Pittsburgh to the postseason? Perhaps, Donnie, based on everybody else really outside of Aaron Rodgers. When you look at the numbers for these guys right now, it's not great. Russ was okay in his first few starts for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think you got the true picture of what Russell Wilson is at this stage of his career in their final five games, including the postseason. Aaron Rodgers, again, the numbers were not ludicrous. They were not awful. He was not terrible in how he played the quarterback position. But in terms of his fully healthy seasons, 20 years in the NFL for Aaron Rodgers. First three on the bench in Green Bay. 3 years where he has not played double-digit games based on injury, including 2023. So that's 14 years fully as a starter in the NFL. Last year, one of his worst. One of five that he has thrown for less than 4,100 yards. One of three that he has thrown double-digit interceptions, including his rookie campaign, or his first year as a full starter, rather, in Green Bay, and his third season as a starter as well. Four non-Pro Bowl seasons for Aaron Rodgers in those 14 fully healthy. His first as a starter in Green Bay, his third with the Packers, his final year with the Pack, and, of course, the version of Aaron Rodgers we are seeing right now in 2024. And again, DRS, even if the numbers were fine and it's not all on Aaron Rodgers, what was the result? A 5-12 Jets team. And at the end of the day, wins and losses are prescribed to a quarterback more than any other position. Neither of these guys is enticing compared to each other. I guess Aaron Rodgers, as the public is showing, gets the slight edge.
Yeah, let's just put the options on the table for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think two of them, from a Pittsburgh Steelers fan perspective, would get you excited, which means you're intrigued about the next upcoming football season. Aaron Rodgers signs with the Steelers. Even if you're the most ardent Steeler fan, you hate Aaron Rodgers, like, you know what? This is going to be interesting, and you hope it works out, but you will watch. Number two would be you head into the draft, and you draft your franchise guy. Let's just say you move some things around, you get Shedeur Sanders. As a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, whether you wanted Shedeur Sanders or not, you're intrigued by that, and you will watch. I'll tell you right now, if Russell Wilson is the quarterback that Mike Tomlin's like, you guys are buffoons out there. I told you last year how much I love this guy and respected him and how hard his work ethic is. Why would you be surprised when we brought him back as our starter? Pittsburgh Steelers fans will look at that and be like, you know what? I might not watch next year because I like DK Metcalf and I want Pickens to excel, but I already saw Russell Wilson. Sometimes, Ben, we just want the unknown. Bring me in Aaron Rodgers. It could crash and burn, but we'll watch. Bring me in a young, talented quarterback to sort of learn, because the last time they did that in Pittsburgh about 20 years ago, it was Ben Roethlisberger, and also ended up in almost close, got to a Super Bowl appearance there. So give me the intrigue. Don't give me the Russell Wilson. Stop it. We don't need that in Pittsburgh. Give us the intrigue.
I think they've seen what Russell Wilson means in the most significant games in the Steel City, and I think if Russ was going to be back in Pittsburgh, that would have already happened. I do believe you are on a very thin edge there with Aaron Rodgers in terms of attention and intrigue and what all that means, but that's a story for another day. Tom Vecchio next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. It is a Thursday. It is TV Tom Vecchio of Sports Grid to provide that prop perspective. Tom, as always, we appreciate the time. We'll talk some NBA action, stretch run of the regular season. After the trade deadline on the ice, stretch run of the NHL season as well. Every game impactful for those postseason standings and playoff positioning. We appreciate the time as always.
Of course, thanks for having me. There's really no reason to delay. Like, I don't have some funny quip. I don't have a one-liner. Let's just hop right into it today. Let's get to it. I mean, what do you want me to say? Like, Duke money line, whale max play of the day today? No, let's hop right into it.
We probably just surged the ratings right there, Tom, for that. See that? That's what we need.
For sure.
Moneyline Duke, I'm in. Go. Yeah.
All right. Donnie loves it, Tom. Great work. You're off to a flying start. Let's talk about last night's game and a potential NBA Finals preview in Boston. Celtics and the Thunder. OKC goes on the road to Beantown, wins outright as an underdog, and as we have said numerous times, makes an absolute statement inside TD Garden. What did OKC prove to you yesterday in a regular season game, albeit a very big one?
Liked what I saw from OKC was, what was it, 6 or 7 different players with double-digit points. Like, obviously, SGA is leading the way. We know that. But they're getting contributions from everyone. And everyone's going to say, like, okay, the Celtics, they didn't have Porzingis. They're not fully healthy, et cetera, et cetera. But when he comes back, whenever that might be, because he's been out for a while, like, they have to fall back into form. And the odds are suggesting that, like, when he gets back, they're just going to snap the fingers, and it's just going to be the Celtics of last year when they were just, like, firing on all cylinders, which I think we have to be a little bit worried with, especially considering how good Cleveland has been playing. So OKC, what they proved to me is that they can show up even in a regular season game, and they're getting contributions from those secondary and tertiary players outside of SGA, and who we know is just like etched in stone what we get from him. So hopefully when the playoffs come, that level of production will be sustained, and they can have a well-distributed offense where it doesn't have to be SGA going for 50 in order for them to win games. So very, very good performance from the Thunder last night.
Let's take a look at the Celtics and the Thunder as it pertains to the championship here in the NBA. Both of these teams, and in football, Tom is a wide receiver. They told you, if you're even, you're leaving. Well, 185 and 185. They're even. Which team is leaving here, Tom?
You know, I want to say the Thunder, and obviously we've talked about this before, different ways to approach finals bets. You could take an outright on SGA to win MVP in the final, which is plus 210. It's obviously not dramatically better than plus 185, but if the Thunder were to win, it's probably going to be him getting the MVP, so you just get it at a better number. Now, the same can be said about a number of different players. You obviously can look for, what is it, OKC to beat Boston at 4.5 to 1. Obviously, we're just taking the chalk at that point. Again, you are getting better odds than just taking one of the two to win. So that's where I would initially be looking. And obviously, those numbers are not going to stay the same as we get into the playoffs and they start to win some rounds. So that's ultimately where I go. The biggest differential is going to be Donovan Mitchell. At 10 to 1 to win MVP when the Cavs are only sitting at 5 to 1. So I like that gap a little bit more simply just from an investment standpoint. If the Cavs do get to the Eastern Conference Finals, he will not be 10 to 1 to win the Finals MVP.
And Vecchio, that's the big difference between these two teams that are now co-favorites to win that Larry O'Brien trophy. OKC is going to be the one seed in the Western Conference, 12-game lead right now. Boston trails Cleveland by 8.5 games for that one seed. The Cavaliers more than likely will have home court advantage throughout the Eastern Conference postseason. So when you look at those NBA championship odds, whether it's Cleveland or somebody else outside of the top two, where is the value right here, right now?
It's still got to be Denver. And despite what they showed last night, getting blown out by 20 points, I think it was, when they were home favorites, I still think that they're the right bet to have. And I think that OKC is a great team. But Jamal Murray for Denver has been playing so much better in this recent stretch, month and a half, than he has been really for the past year. Like, this is the Jamal Murray that we have come to know and love over the past few seasons. And if he's going to be operating at this level, and Jokic is still unbelievable, they get the contributions from Gordon when he's healthy, MPJ, Christian Braun, et cetera, et cetera. Like, they are a team you still need to be worried about. So that number is awesome on Denver. I think them and OKC will be clashing in the Western Conference Finals.
Time for the ice advice right now. And there's a great Neil Diamond said, turn on your heart lights. Why? The Hart Trophy in the NHL. Draisaitl minus 150 as the favorite. Hellebuck plus 160. Who takes it down at the end of the season?
A part of me wants to say it's going to be MacKinnon going back-to-back, and we're going to see Draisaitl win the Rocket Richard. No one's going to catch him in goals, but there's a chance that MacKinnon, again, ends the season along with the MVP. He's going to lead the league in points. And as good as the Hellebuck story is, I think the value at MacKinnon right now, plus 450, is great. I have a small piece on that. Last week was at 5-1. If we're going to see him consistently put up these multi-point games, and we're going to see them, you know, fight for a playoff spot in what I'm going to say is an arguably tougher division compared to the Oilers, I got to give it to McKinnon, especially at this price that we're getting at.
It's a good look right there, Vecchio, to say the least. Yeah. Let's talk some NBA games on this Thursday as well. The Lakers have been struggling as of late. 7-point underdog on the road tonight in Milwaukee. Still no LeBron James expected in the lineup. The Bucks got beat at the buzzer on a 4-point play by Tyrese Halliburton just a few nights ago in Indianapolis. How competitive will tonight's game be inside the Pfizer Forum?
It's going to be super competitive, and it has me leaning to the under right from the jump. If the Lakers are going to win this game, it's not going to be turning it into a shootout when they don't have LeBron. And a one-game sample size is nothing that we want to draw from, but the Lakers, against their recent game against the Nets, they were at 98.1 possessions, which would put them at the sixth slowest in the league. Again, it's a one-game sample size. But ultimately, they don't want to turn this into a shootout when they don't have LeBron, so they have to reel things in and limit the possessions on the other side when we know Milwaukee wants the back, bounce back. So it's the under in that game tonight.
225.5 is that total. Vecchio, two final plays for your top props on this Thursday. Last 40 seconds of this segment. Take us through it.
Yeah. So Cade Cunningham's been awesome. He's consistently pushing towards 30 points. He's obviously nearly averaging a double-double on the season. So I like the fact that he can go over this number basically on points alone when he's had four assists or more in literally every single game this season. So I'll take Cade Cunningham over 35.5 points plus assists. And then I like Braden Point for a goal for Tampa. They can even right the ship tonight against Donnie Flyers. Kucherov is technically listed as day-to-day, so his goal odds are not there, and I like Point to bounce back after a couple slow games from him, and they get the offense going against the Flyers tonight.
Hey, listen, just because Braden Point scores doesn't mean the Flyers are going to lose. We can all win. We're on the early line up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A shorter five-game slate around the NBA tonight. We'll dive through a few, and then we'll get to college basketball to really start our CBB handicapping to end out the entirety of this third hour on the early line. The Lakers have dropped two in a row after that 8-game win streak, and of course, do not have LeBron James entering tonight in Milwaukee against a Bucks team, also hoping for a bounce back, losing at the buzzer in Indianapolis because of a 4-point play from Tyrese Halliburton on Tuesday night. Milwaukee expected a bounce back DRS, 7-point spread in favor of the Bucks. Total 225.5. Can the Lakers play spoiler? Will it be all Milwaukee in this Milwaukee matchup?
I think Milwaukee does win the basketball game, but I think we're beyond the precipice of saying, okay, at least I'm going to get Luka Doncic in that lineup with some decent players around them. Yes, the Bucks will win, but are we trusting the Bucks? Like, if that line now currently, which it is at the FanDuel Sportsbook, up to 7 points, what does that end up by the end of the day? So does that mean you're going to bet the Bucks at a minus 10 price when the Bucks, again, just looking to bounce back after that tough loss they had where they should have picked up a victory, they win by 4, 5, or 6 points, they don't care. So for me, and understand the way that, you know, J.J. Redick is coaching, he doesn't want letdowns or that excuse to creep in, well, hey, you know what? We really worked hard with LeBron James and Luka Doncic, but now that LeBron is going to be around, it's okay to lose 4 or 5 games in a row. That's not the case. So I'm going to say, you know what? Go against the public trend of the line opening up here in New Jersey at FanDuel at 5, now up to 7. Give me the 7 points with the Lakers. As long as Luka is healthy in that starting lineup, why can't they at least hang around in this game within double digits to give you a chance at victory? I'm not laying it with the Bucks in it. I'll take it with the Lakers.
Do we forget who Luka Doncic is? Single-handedly bringing a Dallas Mavericks team basically to the postseason.
Look at that lineup.
Now, I don't think single – what? What'd you say?
You see that lineup anticipated out there, Ben? Tell me a little bit about it. Austin Reeves, Luka Doncic, Dalton Knecht, Alex Len, Dorian Finney-Smith. Kind of impressive, man, by the way. It's kind of impressive.
It is.
Really is.
A couple of Europeans, Dorian Finney-Smith, a great defender who played with Luka in Dallas.
Connect, great German.
And then, of
great
course,
German.
Austin Reeves and Dalton Knecht, a couple of gym rats with high basketball IQ. And to Donnie's point, it's not like, oh, boo-hoo, LeBron James isn't here. I guess Luka will have to do. We can lose 3 of our next 5. The Lakers are still trying to hold on to home floor advantage, at least for the opening round of the postseason. On the 8-game win streak, DRS, 6 days ago, two seed in the Western Conference. Yep. Memphis has won four straight. They're the two seed now in front of Denver, who's in front of L.A. And the Lakers only a half game advantage over a Rockets team that has won four in a row. And a Golden State team that has won five in a row. And the T-Wolves surging as well. A lot of playoff positioning to be had. I agree with you. The Lakers stay within the number. They have not covered in their last two losses. I also agree with Vecchio. I think the under of 225.5 makes a ton of sense. Lakers under a 9 of 11 since the All-Star break, even their last game in Brooklyn, which pushed to the over, would have been under this number. Milwaukee under in three consecutive L's for the Bucks. Yeah. And, of course, big postseason positioning for Milwaukee in the four spot in the Eastern Conference, but identical record at this moment to Indiana. Let's go to Golden State. The Warriors have won five straight. The Warriors with Jimmy Butler look like a true playoff contender. California contest, the Northern California rivalry. Golden State, 7-point home favorite tonight, DRS, against Sacramento. What do you like in this matchup in San Fran?
This is the shame again in the NBA sometimes. We handicap these games well ahead of the game starting. Open up at 6.5 as a favorite here in New Jersey towards the Golden State Warriors at FanDuel. It's up to 7 right now. Some other outlets are up to 7.5. But look at the anticipated starting lineup tonight for the Sacramento Kings. Monk, LaVine, DeRozan, Murray, DeMontis Sabonis. Now, we don't know if he's playing or not. Maybe anticipated to play. So I leave this here, and it's hard to do, right? If Sabonis is in, I'm taking the 7 points at this point. If he's not, I'm still going to take the 7 points. So there, how about that? Let's just go ahead with the Kings. The added bonus of Sabonis back in is enough for the intrigue. Even if he's not there, talented enough to hang around the chicken coop. Give me the Kings.
Maybe then Golden State is at least preparing for the idea of Doma being out there tonight for Sacramento. Now, the Kings, by the way, have covered in 7 of their last 8. They have covered in 3 of their prior 4 as an underdog. I think this game is competitive. Golden State, of course, with Jimmy Butler in the starting 5, has won 12 of 13. They have not covered, though, in their last 3 victories, now riding a 5-game win streak. Golden State out of the play-in tournament. But Minnesota hot on the Dubs' heels, winners of 6 in a row. Sacramento still a play-in tourney team as of this time. College basketball coming up next. And for the rest of this Thursday on the Early Line here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
As of yesterday, all 5 high major conferences around the sport of college basketball in men's CBB fully in action in conference tournament week. And Donnie, as of this Thursday, 3 of those 5 high majors, ACC, Big 12, Big East, their top teams enter the conference tournament fold as well. 1 seeds across the board, 2 seeds, 3 seeds, 4 seeds. We've got some great action on this Thursday. Not quite in the SEC or the Big Ten, but we'll start with the Southeastern Conference, our most compelling conference all year long in college hoops. DRS, when you look at the docket in round number 2 on this Thursday in Nashville around the Southeastern Conference tournament, which one attracts your attention the most?
Usually you like to get those games from a betting standpoint for me. I want more wide open play. Like, usually it doesn't get my attention when it's like, if that game is supposed to be 65 to 60, there's usually not a lot of advantages that you like to take care of unless you're just looking for one really good defensive team and looking to say, you know what, I'm going to go with the team total under. Because typically for me and throughout my betting landscape, the eyes usually train towards the over. How can this work out with these guys play decently? But as you saw yesterday, a lot of my plays were team totals under because it makes sense. Neutral court, high pressure situation, game slows down in the second half, and really good defenses usually add up to more unders there. But if I take a look at the SEC, like Oklahoma and Kentucky, one thing we know, Ben, we ain't playing a lot of defense between those two. So then you try to look for those shot intricacies because neither one of these teams is going to chase off the 3-point line or defend it all that well. Did I handicap and go through what I actually like? No, but if I look at the schedule, which the SEC doesn't have a lot for me to love today with these teams, but if I had that one game at 9:30 p.m. tonight that I might be able to analyze for some fun and wide open looks, it's probably Oklahoma, Kentucky for me, Ben.
161.5 DRS is that total. Oklahoma, a big win yesterday against Georgia. Yep. OU battling for a bubble spot come Sunday. So is their most bitter rival in Texas against its in-state rival in conference mate once again, Texas A&M. Texas pulling off a slight stunner. It was basically a pick 'em yesterday against Vanderbilt, moving to 2.5 in favor of the Doors in their home city of Nashville. Texas looked thoroughly dominant in that matchup. The Longhorns were a top 25 team back in the preseason. It has not been an overly successful year for Rodney Terry and his Horns, but a big opportunity against A&M today with some rivalry fodder thrown in there. 6.5-point spread in favor of the Aggies, who did end out the regular season with a victory in their final week against Auburn, but were not playing great basketball prior, trying to build that momentum as of right now. The most intriguing game for me, DRS, in the SEC, Missouri and Mississippi State. Yeah. 3.5-point spread in favor of Mizzou. I told everybody yesterday, Mississippi State gets an easy one. Easy one against the bad LSU team that was bottom of the barrel within the SEC. And they made good on it. They won by 29, 91, 62. I think that the Bulldogs are a fraudulent team. I think that Mississippi State is bolstering a lot of resumes. They are not worthy of doing so within the SEC that will probably get some of those teams at large consideration in just 4 days from now. Give me Dennis Gates and the Tigers. And more importantly, Donnie, give me the total. Bet it last night as soon as it opened up, 153.5. It's now 155 and a hook.
By the way, see the pen right here? Might be getting a click on the show coming up in about, 30 minutes at this point. Why? Because Missouri's offense, Ben, looking like they fit in like a glove out there versus Mississippi State. Why? Number 3 in conference play at volume from three-point range, Missouri. How about Missouri? Number 3 in conference play at knocking down the three-point shot at 38%. Mississippi State's defense, there's 16 teams in the SEC, 15th at defending the three-point line, 15th at chasing you off the three-point line. Ooh, maybe Missouri, a little team total action here could be in there. It really could. I'm liking where you're going with this total. And also, flip it over to the other side. Mississippi State, not a great three-point shooting team. Will they shoot it? Yes. But look at the surge of where their points come from. Number 1 in conference play, 51% of their total offense coming from inside the arc. Number 5 at giving up points inside the arc, it's Missouri's defense. They play at a fast tempo, Mississippi State. So not relying on the three-point shot and getting out and running for extra points here, you might be on to something for this total because the matchup makes sense. These two teams fit together here, and I like what I see.
Missouri has gone over in its final 7 games of the regular season. So maybe does that trend come to a close? We shall see. But DRS, we're not even talking like over totals of 132.5, 144 in a hook. In all 7 of those games, we saw at least 161 points combined for Mizzou and its opponent. In its last 4, at least a buck 70 plus.
Yeah.
We're talking some points today because Chris Jans, normally known for his defensive outputs, not this year's Bulldogs team. Let's get to the ACC DRS, the number 1 team in the country, the number 1 overall seed in Charlotte, the Duke Blue Devils into the fold, 22.5-point favorite against the Bees of Georgia Tech. Now, I'm not sure I'd lay it, but there's a reason that Duke is favored by that. Duke, at least a 6-point favorite in all 20 ACC games this year. They won 19. They covered in 14, 14-6 against the spread with an average margin of victory of how many points per game? 21.7, thus that big line.
Yeah, it's tough. It's not a perfect match for what I like to look at, but the one thing we do know is Duke's a perfect match, it feels like, for everybody. It doesn't really matter where they play them, they have the matchup, because if you're great at rebounding on defense and playing great defense, then great on offense and great rebounding on offense, so even when you do miss, you get the rebounds back. But understand this, Duke's the best three-point shooting team in the ACC at almost 40% in conference play. Why does that line up? 14th in the ACC out of 18 teams. How about this, of chasing you off? That's Georgia Tech. Everything should be available on offense for the Duke Blue Devils. Here's the only question that we have sometimes, because I ask this to myself. If Duke understands that the goal is to win this tournament, you're playing on back-to-back days. If you're up 25 points with 5 minutes to go, does that mean Cooper Flagg's getting some extra reps in at the end? No, it does not. So you leave a little bit to up for desire. If Duke is going to blow Georgia Tech out, for me, Ben, it's not Duke up by 4 points at the break. So you know where I go. When you have a team that you can stretch, you're going to get an honest effort in the first half. No matter how many points you're up, you're going to try to extend that lead. Maybe it's a first half for Duke, which makes the most sense against Georgia Tech. They should win. But again, the question isn't, does Duke beat Georgia Tech is they blast them by 20-plus points. I would say they're probably up 15 points at the break, and then they cover. I don't want to leave it up in the air and say, hey, the final three minutes when the, you know, the backups come into the game and blow it and there's a 14-2 run by Georgia Tech.
And Donnie, that's what I did yesterday with North Carolina, understanding the purpose for Carolina in Charlotte for the ACC tournament. Now, they covered every number as they blew out Notre Dame by nearly 20. UNC today, 5.5-point favorite against Wake Forest. We were talking about this game off air just in commercial break discussing. You think this could be a potentially good matchup for Steve Forbes and the Demon Deeks, maybe playing spoiler to UNC's tournament outlook. How come?
Yeah, you take a look here. Let me just get some of the statistics up on the screen. Once again, it comes down to just some of the matchups that you take a look at. Wake Forest's defense is very good at the three-point line, which means they're going to defend it at about 30%. However, they will let you shoot the three-point shot. But North Carolina, Ben, not built on the three-point shot. We know that. Can R.J. Davis rise in fire times? That's not really his go-to, but he does have some success. But then you take a look at where you want to score your points from if it's UNC. Sixth in conference play, a point distribution in conference play, about 52% of their points coming from there. However, Wake Forest defense, very stingy inside the arc. So if UNC pulls up and knocks down rainbow three after rainbow three, there's nothing you can do. But Wake Forest's defense actually matches up fairly well with what UNC wants to do. Now, Wake Forest on offense, not that great, and you understand that. But that's not really the focal point here for me, understanding this. Wake Forest can steal points from the free throw line, but the matchup's going to be where Wake Forest can actually play defense and do things that frustrates North Carolina. Yeah. So I'm not saying I'm calling it outright victory, but this isn't a great matchup for UNC where it's like just overpower them. They're going to have to do things they don't like to do in order to win this basketball game.
The bigs come up on the other side of the break. Big Ten, Donnie, not all that interested. I'll give a few thoughts on those games on this Thursday in Indianapolis. Big 12, Big East as well, and a couple of other looks for the rest of your Thursday slate in college hoops. All of that on the other side. Donnie, we're less than 20 minutes away from the start of conference tournament action on this Thursday. Akron and Bowling Green in the MAC tournament. John Gross and his Zips, a 12.5-point favorite at the top seed in that conference tourney, and the favorite to cut down the nets to head to March Madness once again and the big dance. Plenty more around college hoops next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, let's start in the Big Ten because Donnie Wrightside doesn't have a ton of thoughts on our four games in Indianapolis today. First one up, though, DRS, in my estimation, 8-9 matchup between Oregon and Indiana. The most impactful. IU trying to make sure it solidifies its NCAA tournament resume and does not have to wait. A win over Oregon will do just that. The Hoosiers should be in regardless, even if they lose today. They're a 2.5-point dog against the Ducks. But a victory, and Mike Woodson is leading Indiana in his final year at the helm in Bloomington to the big dance.
Yeah, no, it's look. I like to kid about the Big Ten a lot of times because you just think about that old school like football mentality, low scoring, same in basketball. You got some high scoring games today, which I do think has some intrigue. And if there's one team I do cheer on, it's Purdue, just because I like the style of basketball that they play. Ultra efficient on offense, love the three-point shot, get after it there. They take on USC today, and I think their matchup is very good for them, particularly on the defensive side of things. USC wants to score down low. They're very stingy there. They'll give you as many three-point shots as you want, which, again, USC makes a decent amount of them but doesn't shoot a ton of them. I just think Purdue also, you see that line, 9.5? Ooh, I don't know if I can do that. You also look at a double overtime game the day before and Purdue is better. That also screams Purdue should be up at the break. Or you might think that USC might have that surge in them in the first half and then dying out in the second half. But I do think Purdue wins that game by double digits over USC today in a fun one.
Could set up a really, really good path for both Illinois and Purdue moving on. Purdue a victory today. They get the 4 seed in Michigan, who has dropped 3 straight to end out the regular season. Illinois wins. They get the 3 seed in UCLA. Should be very exciting stuff in the Big Ten tournament. All right, let's go Big 12 tourney now as well. We are on to the quarterfinals. Thursday in Kansas City, which means 1 seed Houston. They enter the fold today. 2 seed Texas Tech. 3 seed Arizona in DRS, the most compelling game in my estimation. BYU, the 4 seed, and yet catching 3.5 points against Iowa State. Just 2 weeks ago at Hilton Coliseum, we saw this matchup, went to double overtime, got us to an over. Iowa State, though, dealing with some injury issues again. Taman Lipsey, their point guard, Keyshawn Gilbert, one of their leaders, both listed as game-time decisions. Great show, by the way. Game-time decisions ahead of this matchup in Kansas City.
That's a tough one. You tell me I get a full-gas Iowa State team. I love this team. I've been telling you that for the past 2 weeks. Them and also Texas Tech out of the Big 12 have my eyes. But if you're down multiple starters or they're injured at this point, there are decisions that you have to make, because is it most imperative that you make a run in the Big 12, or understanding that you get a week off and you don't want to have these guys get that extra strain on their body for the big prize, which is the March Madness chance? And BYU, no strangers to loving the three-point shot. Iowa State will let you shoot the three-point shot. And if that three-point shot is going down, that's going to be an issue. But again, it's not home court advantage for BYU. It's neutral site. You're asking for the three ball to go down. I still lean towards Iowa State, but the good part about this is we'll know in just a short time. I think it's a 12:30 tip here, Eastern, of who those starters are going to be for Iowa State. So for me, holding off until we know exactly who's on that court, that's a big advantage today between BYU and Iowa State.
It is indeed the first game today in KC. BYU catching 3.5 points. This Cougars team in its first year under Kevin Young playing great basketball right now. They end the regular season winners of 8 straight, covering in 7 of 8, not their final one against Utah. They were a 12 and a half point favorite, still won that game by double digits. Other games around the Big 12, Kansas had to go to OT last night against UCF, but the Jayhawks did end their regular season in the fog with a victory over Arizona, who started off Big 12 play 11-2 and then dropped 5 of its final 8. The Cats also hoping to start to play better basketball. Baylor is going to be a tournament team more than likely. Not playing all that great, did hammer K-State yesterday. Texas Tech, 5.5 point favorite. And Colorado has pulled off a couple of upsets so far in KC, Mo. Now they're a 17.5 point dog against Houston. Big East quarterfinal Thursday as well, inside Madison Square Garden. First game up, St. John's, 12.5 point favorite against Butler. Creighton, 11.5 point favorite against a DePaul team. And Donnie, that second game on this Thursday afternoon, incredibly intriguing. Xavier, an underdog ever so slightly against Marquette. If the season ended right here, right now, no bid stealers, no tremendous moves throughout the rest of conference tourney week, Sean Miller and his Musketeers would be dancing. But they're not trying to leave it up in the committee's hands if they can pull off a big one against the Golden Eagles today.
Yeah, you know what this might come down to? Because they're two pretty evenly matchups, as you see by the spread itself there. But take a look at this. Xavier in conference play, number one at getting to the free throw line. How about Marquette? Number 11 out of 11 teams at getting to the free throw line. Sometimes you need to steal some of those smaller advantages. That's a big time advantage for Xavier if they can take advantage of the free throw line today.
We will see how it works out for them. Again, we are starting in 10 minutes. Bowling Green, first game, 8:10 action right after that. Maybe you forgot the name Robbie Avila. Well, he plays for St. Louis. They're getting underway in Atlantic 10 action as well. Do you remember who that is? The bespectacled
The big guy
wonder
with the glasses, right? Yeah.
Yeah, for Indiana State. Now plays for SLU following his coach there to St. Louis. DRS, any other games that we look at here? Some more notable around the Thursday slate. Great one in the Mountain West. Basically a pick 'em between San Diego State and Boise State. The Broncos trying to hunt down an NCAA tournament at large berth. Colorado State now the 2 seed in the Mountain West tourney, 5.5 point favorite. Utah State, UNLV, Akron, as we shared, now a 12.5 point favorite. Miami of Ohio, by the way, 5.5 point favorite. They're the 2 seed in the MAC, 14 conference wins. And again, CUSA action. Kennesaw State, slight favorite against New Mexico State.
Or we focused here down at Dickey's Arena in Fort Worth, Texas, down there for the American Conference with Temple and Tulsa today. I did see a designation tag of questionable for Jamal Mashburn Jr. He's probably missed probably the last, 10 games or so for Temple, but they're favored to win today. I like those teams. Can you get on a run and your best player coming back? We don't know if he's actually coming back for the tournament, but those are the intriguing things that I like to take a look at as well. Sort of that lower level competition when everybody's focused so much on the high majors. Injury information at this time of year is absolute king. See if you can find some of those gold nuggets if you do get some of these key players back.
3.5-point spread in favor of the Owls in plenty of great games. Big West Conference Tournament action that we'll highlight on the other side. We await UC San Diego entering the ring. DRS, have a great time on the money line. I am sure plenty of college basketball handicaps coming the radio listeners' way. We continue here on TEL next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's keep diving through a monumental Thursday during conference tournament week in college basketball. Exactly 1 week away from the start of the round of 64 in the men's NCAA tournament. In my estimation, the two greatest days on the calendar each and every season, sports or otherwise. Round of 64, Thursday and Friday. Next week. That is it, but a lot to figure out. Until then, the remainders of conference tournaments and, of course, on Selection Sunday. 48 games, 48 D1 men's college basketball games that start in just about 5 minutes in MAC action, A10 action, and all the way through 11:30 p.m. Eastern time tonight when the final games on this Thursday tip. We're talking 14-plus hours of college basketball in a row on this Thursday. That is indeed a beautiful sight. Let's go back to some of the other notable games from this Thursday. If I'm not mistaken, and producer Joe Friso, please make sure we clarify, no tickets to the NCAA tournament at stake. No conference championship games on this Thursday, but we do have, thank you, many quarterfinal and semifinal games as we dive even deeper throughout conference tournament week. A lot of great action in the Mountain West tourney, San Diego State and Boise State, in a game that is basically a pick'em. If the Broncos can win, should be a quad one victory for Boise State, would do a lot to bolster that NCAA tournament resume. There was a chance on Saturday night that Boise State was going to be the 2 seed or very high up in the Mountain West Conference tournament in Las Vegas, but Colorado State went into Idaho and pulled off the upset over Boise State. CSU now a 5.5-point favorite against Nevada. Top team in this tournament, that is New Mexico. First regular season crown in more than a decade. Richard Pitino and his Lobos, 15.5-point favorite today. That tournament played in Las Vegas. Of course, Richard's father, Rick, the 1 seed in the Big East tournament with St. John's. They're a double-digit favorite against Butler. Let's talk some of that high major conference tournament action as well. And I do want to start in the Big East because, man, what a game we have tonight in the world's most famous arena inside Madison Square Garden. Two great programs, two very recognizable programs in college hoops battling it out tonight, UConn and Villanova. Villanova yesterday taking care of business, as you would expect the Cats to do against Seton Hall. But that's just step number one. If Villanova has any hope, any outside hope of making the NCAA tournament, they need to beat UConn. They need to win their semifinal. More than likely, they need the automatic qualifier out of the Big East. But at least getting a conference title Saturday inside the Mecca would make things rather interesting. A 6.5-point spread in favor of UConn. And again, I do think it bears repeating. We've said it a few times. Dan Hurley's Huskies during that first national championship run in 2022-23 was not overwhelmingly dominant in the Big East. They were 13-7 in the regular season, did not win the tournament title. That was Marquette that year in 2023. Last year, a different story. But still, 13-7 in regular season action. UConn this year, 14-6, trying to play their best ball at this moment. They should beat Villanova. They're a 6.5-point favorite tonight. We'll see if that comes through. Great game between Xavier and Marquette, 2:30 p.m. Eastern time. Again, the Musketeers, if the season ended right now and the committee had to release a bracket in 2 hours, Xavier would be in. But you want to make sure you stay in and you don't leave it up to fate or chance or any bid stealers out there. They're a 2.5-point dog against the Marquette team that saw its fair share of struggles down the final 2-3 weeks or so of the Big East regular season. Big Ten tournament, again, Indianapolis, just round number two, our top four teams still waiting with the double bye into conference quarterfinal Friday as well. But the first game at noon, Indiana-Oregon, a huge one. This Hoosiers team is playing different, whether it's the resolve in the buy-in for their skipper in Mike Woodson, or Mike Woodson saying, F it, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to structure things the way I want. Indiana playing such better basketball. Wisconsin gets Max Klesmith back. That's huge to have their leader back on the floor. I like some points against this gritty Northwestern team. Illinois and Purdue now both double-digit favorites. Great day in the SEC. Great day in the ACC. Huge one between North Carolina and Wake Forest around 2:30 p.m. Eastern time. It's a must-win, can't-lose for UNC. They lose, they're not getting to the NCAA tournament. And, of course, a stellar Thursday in the Big 12 tournament in Kansas City. So much great stuff. Let's do it again tomorrow, huh? 8 a.m. Eastern time.